This morning we are going to finish up chapter 4 of 1 Peter. So if you want to, you can put your Bible to 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version today. This version, literally, it's closer to the actual word found in the Hebrew or the Greek. And there's some few points that I wanted to make specifically out of this translation. So if you don't want to follow along, I'm going to be reading to you. It's just going to be a little, the wording's just a little bit different, but the meaning is still there. Okay, if that makes sense. Our program does not allow us to put them on the screen, though. The English Standard Version words. I don't know, it's biased against it, I guess. It doesn't like it. But so, just so you know, if you're looking at your Bible and you're like, where's he at? I'm going to tell you, okay, where I'm at, where I'm reading from. So this morning, though, let's open our service with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, God, we thank you so much for this morning and for being able to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would use your word to speak to us, to guide us, to enlighten us, and to enrich us. Lord, I pray that we can find peace and comfort in your words. As always, God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Excuse me. You guys have a pretty good week this week? Yeah, absolutely. Good week. Blessed week. Everybody had a good week at work or off of work or whatever it was that you were doing. That's good. So I had a whole lot prepared, and this sermon, admittedly, is more teaching than preaching. And then something happened. And I don't want to ruin it all, but I'll get to it. So I'm a little bit sporadic this morning because I have some of my old sermon and some of the new stuff that God kind of gave me. But I wanted to read 12 through 19. We're going to do chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 19. Again, this is the English Standard Version. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing so." Close enough, right? So, I love how this starts. Okay, so Peter's, if you've been following along through this 1 Peter kind of study, he's had a whole lot to say. And he starts out, in mine it says, "Beloved." Yours might say dear friends or something about a friend, but I love beloved. That means that's an endearment term. That's they're close, right? Peter probably knew these people. He says dear friends or beloved. And I think he's kind of being almost like a fatherly figure. Okay? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Anybody ever been surprised by a trial in your life? You ever just been kind of blindsided by something that you didn't expect, just out of the ordinary? You know, your life is going one direction and it's going pretty good, actually. And then, boom, it happens. You're blindsided. And there's this trial. And it feels like a fiery trial. I chose the ESV because it says fiery trial. But a painful trial as well. Think about that. And what he says is, don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised that you have this trial. And doesn't it always surprise us? But why? Why wouldn't we expect to have trials? We've been told, we've been promised, there will be trials in this life. But then when it actually happens to us, we have this, where'd that come from, response. We're literally surprised. He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Fire is used for many, many different things. And one of them, still now, it's used to test metal. All right, they'll heat up metal and they'll pull it out. You know, they'll bang on it and they'll test the integrity of the metal to see if this is a good metal to be used for fabrication or if it's a bad metal to be used for fabrication. And in our lives, the same kind of thing will be true. A fiery trial will be used to test your faith. A fiery trial, faith is no good until you put it into action. But that fiery trial is when you're going to have to put your faith into action. So that's why he says, beloved, don't be surprised. You're going to be tested. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. As though something strange were happening to you. I love that. As though we've never expected or been through a trial. If you've never been through a trial in your life, I don't know what you've been doing. It's just, I don't know where you've been. You're probably too young to have ever experienced a trial. And as I look around, I love you guys, but you're old enough to have had a trial. At least one. So then we look at it as though something strange were happening to us. Now, I can't ignore this. There's a duplicity here in the fiery trials. Because as Peter's writing this, here's my teaching for you. Nero. This is about AD 64. Nero set Rome on fire for basically his own amusement. He just kind of set it on fire and it burned for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then so the people are, that made the people angry. So what did Nero do? He said, you know who set this fire? The Christians. The Christians set this fire. And so then he put them on trial, found them guilty, and executed them in the most grotesque ways possible. He would some of them he crucified. Some of them he burned alive. Some of them he put into the games. Some of them he draped in animal skins and let the lions attack. There's this fiery trial. And I have to look at it and notice this duplicity. At this time, the Christians were being persecuted intentionally by the leaders, by the government. So what happened this week? The government didn't do this, so don't hear that. What happened this week in Colorado? If you don't know, I will enlighten you. Oregon, sorry. A man walked into a college and opened fire on people. Okay? And then, once he got rid of the professors and anybody that would probably stop him, he said, everybody was on the ground, he said, if you're a Christian, stand up. And they did. And he said, I'm glad you stood up. You're about to meet God. And he shot them. If they stood up, he shot them in the head. If they didn't, he shot them in the legs. I wonder what that fiery trial was like. I wonder what this fiery trial is like for the family members of those people who were executed for their faith this week. These were college students that didn't do anything wrong other than show up for class that day. I wonder what that fiery trial is like. Do they welcome this as a test? Probably not. Do they recognize this as something strange happening to them? Absolutely. What is our response to that? How, if that happened in Mount Gilead, Ohio, what would our response be? Some people will say, well, they deserved it because they stood up. They knew what was going to happen. I would say that too. They knew what was going to happen and they accepted it anyhow. Not that they deserved it, but they knew what was going to happen and they accepted it anyhow. I applaud these young people's faith.
Amen.
I applaud them for saying, wow, I am a Christian. And if we're faced with that, I told you guys a long time ago, I don't think we're going to be faced with that. I'm wrong. Absolutely. At some point, someone might have a gun to your head and say, are you a Christian? And I would pray your response is yes. I would pray that. Even though it's scary. That's a fiery trial. Guys, and if you don't recognize the fiery trials that are coming upon us as a country, we're missing out. We're kind of missing the point. But I can't dwell on it too long. Let's go on to 13. Here's what we're supposed to do. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. You share Christ's sufferings. Doesn't that sound familiar? These kids at the school, he said, "Are you Christians? Stand up." As we read through the Gospels, the entire time Jesus is tested by the Pharisees or by the religious leaders, right? He's always asked, "Are you the Messiah?" in many different ways, and he always answers, "Yes." Even though he knew as soon as he says yes, they're going to put him on trial for blasphemy. And they're going to kill him. He knew that. Jesus had a choice, guys. He chose to come down here for our sin. He chose to say, "Yes, I am the Messiah." Even though he knew what they were going to do to him. And they didn't just kill him. That would have been too easy, right? They punished him. They beat him. They scourged him. Then they crucified him. And Peter says, "Rejoice in your painful sufferings, in your fiery trials, because you are sharing in Christ's sufferings." Does that make any of you all feel better? It's hard to, isn't it? It's hard to really kind of take a grasp of that, but it's true. Whenever we suffer, Jesus suffered for us. And we're sharing in that suffering for our same beliefs. Now, I'm not just talking about a regular fiery trial where someone's kind of angry with you or whatnot, but I'm thinking about something that is to your core, that's going to test your faith. Maybe your fiery trial is you're sitting in a doctor's office and someone reveals to you that you're sick, and not just normal sick. You don't just have a cold. Maybe he uses the big C word. Or maybe they say, "You know what? I don't know how to fix this." Maybe that's your fiery trial, because at that point, that's when your faith in God is going to be tested. Does that make sense? He says, when that happens, to rejoice, because you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. And he says that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. My favorite part of trials is when you come all the way through it and you can look back and see Christ's glory being revealed through that. If you maintained your faith and you stayed true the entire time through that trial, his glory that he gets from that. What a testimony you have, having gone through these fiery trials. 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But let no one suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Peter had to throw that in because the churches that he was kind of writing to were made up of recent converts. These are people that were possibly murderers, who were possibly evildoers, but they have converted to Christianity or Judaism. They converted at that time. So he writes this. He says, "Listen, don't suffer because of your past. Suffer now because of your faith. And rejoice in that." I don't exactly know how to prepare you for the suffering. There's my transparency and my honesty. I can't see into the future, so I don't know exactly how you're going to be tested. But I do know for one thing, you will absolutely be tested. There will be a fiery trial in your life, one that will rock you to the core. And your response at that point is important. It's absolutely important. Are you going to say, "Yes, I am a Christian and I will follow my beliefs, my morals," or are you going to cower behind your desk and say no? 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. It's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. I'm concerned about people who claim to be Christians but don't know what that means. I'm concerned about people that just check a box on a paper, yes, I'm not Hispanic, I'm white, and I'm a Christian, but don't really kind of go in depth and do anything about that. I'm concerned about those people, those churchgoers that show up on Sunday mornings and think that's enough. I'm concerned about the people that don't take their faith seriously, who cannot process this faith and actually put it into action. I'm concerned about that because at this point in our lives, we are at the brink of persecution and judgment. How do we respond to this persecution? Because this says it's time for judgment to begin with the family of God. We're that. We are the family of God. So it's time for judgment to begin with us. It's time for us to look at ourselves and take a really good, honest look into the mirror and say, do I show what I say is in here? Do I show this love? Do I show this grace? Do I show this faith? Do I show this compassion? It is so easy to say, yes, I'm a Christian from our comfortable little church setting. It's harder to say it in your work setting. It's even harder to say it with a gun to your face. But the answer should always remain the same. There should never be a hesitation. Yes, I'm a Christian. Because that type of faith, that kind of conviction, is what is going to start a revival in our area. And that's absolutely what we need. We need a revival. We need to be brought back to life. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you guys missed it or not, you know, down at the fairgrounds, they had the awakening. And there were several people there. And from what I understand, a lot of the people got this urgency. We need this now. We need this now. And it wasn't just church people that showed up. That was my fear. We're going to have this great big church service for church people. But it wasn't just church people that showed up. It was people that were questioning. There were people there that were trying to figure out, what do they believe? Where do they stand on issues? And why? And those people got to go to the Lord in prayer. Those people got to talk to other mature Christians and try to figure out, what's their response? Am I a Christian? That would be my challenge for you today. I want you to look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a Christian? If I ask the junior high kids this, if I put you on trial, if I drug you down to the courthouse and put you on trial, would I have enough evidence to convict you of Christianity? Or not? That's the kind of faith we have to have. I want somebody to say, or I want to ask somebody, hey, is that person a Christian? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Can't get them shut up. I would pray that person goes to our church because that I want that fire. Amen. We gotta have it. Right. We can't just sit around and do nothing. Now is the time for action. Is a time for action because let's look at 17, the rest of 17. For it's time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and it begins with us. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? What will be the outcome for those? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing so. It's like we are sitting in front of a bomb. And there's a bunch of different colored wires. And it's ticking down. And God told you which wire to cut. You know which wire to cut to save you, your family, and your neighbors. And you're sitting in front of you watching it tick down. Tick, tick, tick. And you got your wire cutters. But you haven't cut the wire. So, or, why don't we share this information with our neighbors so now everybody knows which wire to cut when the bomb's about to go off. Why do we have to watch it tick down? Why can't we just cut the wire and go? We absolutely can. And that's what I'm telling you about sharing your faith. You know there is a time this world is going to be done. You know for a fact Jesus is coming back. You know for a fact what's going to happen to the unsaved. What are you doing to save the unsaved? What are we doing? We come here on Sunday morning, we sit in chairs, and we check off our box. But really, what else are we doing? If you haven't figured it out, there's a call to action here to not just talk about it, but to be about it, to do it. Guys, God has told you already how to save the unsaved. And it's not that we save them, but it's that we help them with the information. We make the introduction. We will introduce them to God. Are you going to save every person you tell about God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Are they going to accept Christ? No. And I can't figure it out, but they just don't. They just don't. It seems hard, I guess. I talked to one person who said, I kind of like being bad. Okay. Okay, but you know you're going to have to answer to that. Yes. I got to move on. You got to shake the dust off or something. I got to go. You know? But at least that person has the seed planted. Maybe someone else later will come and water, and then God will reap the harvest. Right?
Right.
Sow the seeds. Try. Make an effort. It's super simple to just say, I'll be praying for you. I love you. Jesus loves you. Something along those lines. I don't know. I can't make the introductions for you. I can't say the words for you. It's this kind of things you have to do. Trust me, if I could be a Christian for you, I'd absolutely love to take that burden off you. I would. Because I know you're busy. I know you have stuff to do. And I know you have lives outside of church. If I could do this for you, I absolutely would. But I can't. So now all I can do is equip you. I can give you the information that you need to have so that you can put it into action. My question is, why aren't you putting it into action? I've preached for almost 2 years here. You know. Now there's just the disobedience problem. You know? I don't know. There's a call to action and we're not doing it. And I'm very frustrated by it. And I know you can hear it. I'm not mad. I just see the potential in our community and we're missing that. We're missing out on being a part of God's will inside of our community. So I pray especially as we go through fiery trials, that we can come through those and we can use those as our testimony. We can use those for our neighbors, for God's glory, for them to see, wow, I know what that person went through. And look who they are now. Look what God's done with them. Look how God's changed them as they went through that. Look exactly where they are now. I want to do that. The good news is it's not too late. You got up this morning. Right? So Jesus didn't come back last night. He's not back yet. So there's still time. There's absolutely still time. Don't ever look at this world and be like, oh, too lost. Too lost. Can't do nothing about it. I'm just going to worry about me and mine. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. As much as I am so secure with your salvation, it's theirs I'm worried about. And we should be too. We absolutely should be too. But as we do that, let me prepare you for something. As you say yes to God, as you start to follow His will, just let me say these words to you. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Because there's a guy out there that is literally fighting for the souls that you're going to be trying to save. And he's going to try to impress in a whole lot of fiery trials on you. And some people will say, where is this God when that happens? Some people will say, where is God? Why didn't God save me from that? Maybe he's going to use it to refine you, to strengthen you. You guys, when you say, where is God through this fiery trial, I'll tell you, right next to you. He's the same place he's always been. He's right there with you. If you think your pain doesn't make him hurt, you're wrong. It absolutely does. So when you start to say, yes, there will be a fiery trial, it'll hurt, it'll be painful, but it'll also be glorifying. You can rejoice in Christ's sufferings. because you are being assaulted for the name of Christ. I guess, are you suffering because of your faith? Have you gone through this trial? Are you through the trial? There's a fiery trial among us all, whether we feel it or not. I would tell you Satan puts you on trial every day. Every single day he looks at you to try to figure out if you're a threat or not. If you're a threat to his will. If he finds you a threat, you will absolutely know it. He leaves you alone, you will absolutely know it. It's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to struggle. Somewhere somebody might have told you that Christians have great lives and Christians are perfect, and that's absolutely a lie. That's absolutely a lie. And I would tell you that came from the great tempter himself. He wanted you to think you're not good enough. He wanted you to think, well, I'm so imperfect that there's no way I can absolutely do any good for God. I'm just glad God did good for me. It's a lie. It's a lie that people believe, and it bothers me. And don't let another human being tell you you're not good enough to share his gospel. Because I can point out the people he used, and they were not good enough. They absolutely were not good enough. The guy he used to bring the words to bring the gospel to the Gentiles was the same guy that was killing Christians. As far as I know, none of you have targeted Christians and killed them. So you got a one step up on Paul. Okay? But what did he have? He had absolute conviction and faith in Christ. And he took that and he wanted everyone to know the gospel, which is the good news. He wanted every single person he ever talked to and their friends and their family to know Jesus. That's absolutely my prayer, is that every person that we come in contact with has a salvational knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are we going to win them all? Absolutely not. My wrestling coach used to tell me, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So if you don't try, you're not going to get any. Okay, that's what that means. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. This morning, it was not my goal at all to condemn or convict. Well, maybe convict, but not to condemn. I want this conviction in your heart so that we can make a change, we can make a difference. Because if not, what are we doing? We're just I'm wasting your time, you're wasting my time. You know, we can go play church somewhere else if you want. I don't want that to happen. I don't want us to be just churchgoers. I want us to be Jesus followers. Which is absolutely why we're trying to do this discipleship study. And we're trying to figure out, what does it look like? What does it mean to actually be a follower of Christ? And then, how can we help others do that? Right? We're trying to make a bunch of replications of Christ. Not replications of us. Alright? Disciple does not mean follow me. It means follow him. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn how to be disciples, good disciples, and how to make disciples. So there's my plug for coming to the discipleship class. We have it Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. If you can't make those times, that's fine. The answers are in here. We use the same thing that you're going to use. Amen. You know, we're going to find the same answers in the same exact place. That's in the scripture. The only way to know how to follow someone is to know who they are. So we have to use the scriptures. If not, we're just making followers of ourselves. Little minions. That's not what we're trying to do. I don't know. I guess Oregon kind of shook me. Somebody could come into your job tomorrow. Say, are you a Christian? And shoot you in the face. It's that. I mean, that's the reality that we live in. So I guess I just want you to be prepared for that. I want to prepare you for that. I would tell you that the days are gone of peace for Christians. Now we're on trial by everyone who's not one. So I pray that you're able to see this coming and to prepare yourself. Somebody was telling me about a hurricane, I think it was New Jersey, a house washed away. They were ready for that hurricane and they were gone. They knew it was coming. So just let me prepare you. Persecution is coming. Trials are coming. It's going to happen to each and every one of us sitting here in this room. Be prepared. Be ready. Have your response ready. I am a Christian. I will follow God. No matter what. No matter how hard. No matter how bad it gets. Your response should be, yes, I am a Christian. Let's pray. Father, I want to lift up those victims to you. God, I thank you for their witness. I want to lift up their families, God. Lord, I pray you give them peace and comfort as they go through this fiery trial. Lord, I pray one day they can rejoice in your sufferings and know that their children, brothers and sisters, were bold in their faith. God, I thank you for our church. Thank you for the community you've put us in. I pray that we're able to do your will and do your work in the community. Not for us. Not to put more butts in the chairs, but to make more disciples of you. I gladly thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'm going to have the elders come down. And I'll be down here to pray with you. I said it last week just because I like to point them out. We have the kneelers available for you. You don't have to come and pray with us. We love to pray with you. We love to talk with you. We love to just hear from you. But there's also ways where you can come and pray without us. And you don't have to come up front. You can pray right there where you're at. But just know that we're here for you. We're here to uplift you, to encourage you, and to be with you. So if you would stand, we're going to sing another song. I think. All right, good.